magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, June 19th, 2017. We're going to jump right into a message as preached last Sunday at the Community Evangelical Free Church by special guest Irvin Williams, the Executive Director of Restoration Urban Ministries. And he preached for about 42 minutes, so I'll air that message in its entirety on today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. Irvin Williams has a passion for God and a great sense of humor, and you learn that in his opening words. Here's Irvin Williams, Executive Director of the Restoration Urban Ministries.
I'm grateful that you would have me here so you get what you see. You know, I'm not promising you a whole lot. Secondly, the biggest mistake was that no one bothered to call and give me a time limit. You know. So it's not my fault. We got to be at a service at 4:30. So it's about 15 minutes from here to Champaign. So we just got to make sure I got my 15 minutes so I can get to that other service. So praise the Lord. Amen. I am just tickled, though. You all are. I love this. I love getting out, talking about the two favorite subjects, three, in my life. They mean so much to me. One, number one is Jesus. I love talking about Jesus. Be honest with you, I'd rather talk about him than restoration. I appreciate you having me here, but restoration is just a puff of smoke. It's just a flick in the history. Jesus is forever and will always be forever. And there's always something new to talk about Jesus. See, we're going to come and we're going to go. As I said, in fact, they're going to kick me out of restoration here pretty soon. But Jesus is always, always, always. And that's the thing that excites me, why I love talking about Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then especially after what I've come through, where I've come from, and all the things that God has done in my life, it's just exciting. So, praise the Lord. The thing that's the really important thing is talking about the Lord. So, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to just share a couple of minutes about a little bit what's going on at Restoration. I think some updating and that kind of stuff. And then I want to do what I think I'm here to do. Praise the Lord. So, go to sleep and don't get upset and all that. Don't storm out of here. Just stay. It'll be okay. You know, you can get prayed for afterwards and we can straighten that up. So, praise the Lord. Father, we are just grateful. We're humbled. We get to come into your presence one more time as a body of believers, Father. We get to take a moment where we can sing praises and we can worship you and we can honor you. And it's not that we don't do it elsewhere, but as a body, we get to come together, Lord, and we get to do it together, Lord. We get to tell the world how great is our God, how awesome our God is, and the wonderful things that he's done and the wonderful things that he's doing. So, Father, you said in your word where two or three would come together in your name. You already made the promise. And I'm relying upon the promise, Lord, more than I am upon me, is that you would be right here in the midst of us, Lord. Your presence would be here. And, Lord, I cannot see doing anything without you. I can't see, Lord, speaking, talking. I can't see doing anything without you. So, Father, I'm just so grateful to have you here this morning. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you've come to fill this place with your glory. And so take the next few minutes, Lord, the words that I need to share. And, Lord, make them your word. Anoint those words, Father. Use those things that it may spark us. My greatest desire, Lord, is that after being in your presence, that when we walk out of here, we don't walk out of here the same way we came in. But because of your spirit, because of your word, that somewhere there's been a change, a transformation in some area of our lives that allows us to be ever closer to you, more reliant upon you, trusting you for every single thing we do and every breath we take. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you, Father, for being what you are. Thank you for making us what we are, so that all honor and praise would go not to man nor institution, but would go to you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Ooh, glory, glory, glory. Okay, I guess I need to, as I said, restoration is there, but I need to take a moment to probably just kind of update you a little bit on some of the things that have been going on in restoration. Those who don't know you, we just celebrated our 24th year in March. And if everything continues and we hit 25, I'll probably be taking a different plan, a different role than what I played in restoration up to this point here. My body's getting a little older. It's getting a little bit slower. I'm a little more stuck in my ways. And so we're bringing in some younger blood, some people in there that's got some energy and excitement and fire. And so they can take restoration to the next place where it needs to go. So I'm smart enough to recognize, you know, at some point you need to get away behind the steering wheel, especially when you can't see as well as you used to, you know. And so bring someone with better sight. And I think as in the days to come, I think God is already putting things together to bring some with sight into the future. And true, you notice it because, see, there's a tendency for to talk about, well, I remember when we did this, and I remember how that happened. Well, that's good to look backwards, but we need some people to look forward to see where we're going and not so much spending all their time like I would be doing, talking about what we once did. So I'm pretty excited about that, too, because it's going to allow me a little bit more freedom to play with my grandbabies, my wife, who's been faithfully by my side. We've been together now for 47 years. 47. Praise the Lord. We celebrate this Wednesday another anniversary. Tuesday. Yeah, y'all laughing, but I'm the one that's got to pay for it. Okay. Okay. Anyway, so we've been there for 24, going on 20. We're in our 25th year now. And again, as I said, I am just tickled because of what God has allowed me to see. We started restoration back in 1993, and we started with a little bag of groceries. Basically, just a couple of us around the kitchen table, we wanted to do some things. And so we were able to get a few bags of groceries. And surprising enough, some people showed up to take the groceries. And then what we found out that by the end of the week, we had more groceries coming. And we were running about 100 people a week, families through there that was getting groceries. It hasn't stopped. Right now, we're running about 30,000 people that were able to put food into the mouths. And thank God for you all here who supported and helped us and prayed for us, that allowed us that the name of Jesus Christ could get out into some homes where we can't get them to the church, but we can take the church to them, where there's an opportunity to share the love of God with them. So it's busy around there all the time. We later on bought the motel that we're currently in. We've been in there since right around 1999. And since then, we've had just literally thousands and thousands of people that come through. Here's the most amazing. Most of them that's come through restoration, most of them has come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And to me, I'm just excited about that part. You see, you can keep on feeding people, but that doesn't mean they accept Jesus, okay? So when they come to know Christ, and that's been it, when they come to our program, they're there for 11 months, and during that 11 months, they go to classes, they have discipleship classes, but they also have other things like computer class. I do what we call a cognitive behavioral class, where we talk about why you think the way you do and why you do the way you do, and all of it's connected with Jesus, so because we want people to be strong in the Lord. The Scripture says, and in the power of His might. So we do that. So our biggest two programs right now is our feeding program and, of course, our residential program. Right now, during the summer, we got a break. In August, it'll fill up again, and we'll get started. We've had as many as 200 people living there going through our program at any one given time. And believe me, that's a community. And sometimes we feel like it's a nightmare because they come with all their issues and all their problems. They don't come, you know, prepared and everything together. They come and you see the worst. But what's so amazing is what God does. God's got this way that's beyond us of transforming people's lives, taking people, former drug addicts and people who've had problems with the law and people, you know, who just maybe been through 7 or 8 marriages or stuff with a dozen kids, and begin to put some importance in their life, some significance, and begin to show them how much God loves them. And it's amazing when they recognize they're loved by God, what begins to happen on the inside. 11 months later, they've moved out, they're in their own place, they're working, they're taking care of their children. Most importantly is they maintaining a relationship with Jesus. That's what's important. See, I believe in heaven and hell. Not everybody do. I believe in heaven and hell. But I believe that you can go to hell with a full stomach. so that if we don't share Christ with them, if we don't give them an opportunity to know Jesus, then to me I felt like I failed. I can't make them. None of us can. But I trust the work of the Holy Spirit, what He does. We have recently here in the last 3 years here, and it's been a little bit, is that we've got four offshoots from Restoration right now. We've got another one in Champaign. We got two in Oklahoma. We've got two in Nigeria, really, where God is doing some of the same things now. In our little four churches there, they are all duplicating what we've been doing at Restoration now. So that was when they've come out of Restoration and they went out to continue doing it, taking the gospel to folks, also reaching out and letting them know that God loves them, opening up the doors where they can come and where they can begin to be in the presence of His Spirit, where God can do the transforming thing that He does in the lives of other people. So we're pretty excited about that. As I said, if it just ended up with food, clothing, shelter, and those kind of things, that would be good, but I would be disappointed. Because the reason I got into this, because I wanted people to know about Jesus. I'm an old ex-alcoholic drug user and did a lot of stuff on the streets that I'm still ashamed of. But I tell you that if God can come in and touch somebody like me, He can touch anyone. God can change lives. And in fact, that's kind of what I wanted to share with you this morning here, within the next couple of hours that I got here. So praise the Lord. So pray for me. Maybe I'll lose my voice or something after about an hour and a half. So we can cut that a little short. Give me less than 30 minutes, okay, together, and we should be out of here. But I want God to do what it is that God does. I got a scripture that I want to share with you, several scriptures. But there's a scripture that came to me, and it's come now, become my most favorite scriptures. It's Psalm 16. I have read through the Bible. I cannot even tell you how many times I've read through the Bible. For a long time, I tried doing a program where I could read through the Bible every 6 months, and so I could stay fresh in it. And I did that for years, just reading through and reading through and reading through. And I'd always take a different translation so it'd be fresh and new to me. And so I did that. And all these times and all the studying and everything else, it was just not that long ago, maybe the first of the year, that something about Psalm 16 got my attention, and it's been holding it. So I want to share it with you this morning. Here's what it says. And I'm not even sure which translation I'm reading from. It says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I see of the holy people who are in the land. They are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." Here we go. "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." The King James says it this way: "In thy presence is fullness of joy." I can't remember what I was doing, but it was like all of a sudden, I said, "God, I go to church. I believe you're always with us. I'm not struggling with that part." But then I read this little simple thing says, "In your presence is fullness of joy." And it has been ringing and ringing and ringing in my head for months. The presence. The presence. Living in the presence of God. Luke 11, 1 through 4 says something interesting that continues this whole thought. Listen to what it says. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I love that. Because many of us in here, we probably would have went in a different direction. You've been walking with Jesus. He's raising the dead. He's multiplying food. He's casting out devils. He's doing all these wonderful things, healing the sick, no matter how sick they are. I think if I went to God, I probably would have said something like this, Lord, teach me how you did that one little thing over there you just did, okay? I want to get dramatic. I want to see dead people raised. I want to see the sick. But they saw something prior to all of that, that before he would even do anything like that, they noticed that he always prayed. They noticed that it was a part, it was like breathing for him, this sense of prayer. We've taken the word prayer because, see, prayer came after sin, folks, not before sin. Before sin, we didn't call it prayer. Before sin, it was just fellowshipping. Okay? Before sin in the garden, you know, it was just fellowshipping. And what God is desiring to do is bring us back to a fellowship so that it doesn't become some kind of special act that we do when we want to get spiritual. Well, you know you need to pray. Well, the idea is that we learn how to live in a state of fellowship with God all the time. Here's what I found out. And when you learn to walk in that place of fellowship with God, you don't spend the evening praying and saying, oh, God, forgive me for what I said to so-and-so. Oh, God, forgive me for that, what I did. Oh, God, forgive me for where my eyes went. Oh, God, forgive me. And sometimes we end up our evenings, if we pray, we end up asking God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. What I found out that if I start my day off praying, I don't have as many forgive me, forgive me, forgive me's because God is directing my step. And when I fellowship with God, he's got a way of keeping me and keeping me out of harm, keeping me out of danger, and keeping me from stepping where I shouldn't be stepping. So he says, teach us how to pray, Lord, as John taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. We establish who he's Father. We establish him in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. He says, your kingdom come. And the reality is, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just like in heaven. Not future tense. You follow? See, when I was growing up, I always taught that this his will, the kingdom come, and it's going to be future tense. But then Jesus comes back, and Jesus said, preach this to him, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is all about us. So I know it's not future tense. And another reason why I know it's not future tense, because he talks about forgiveness. He's not telling you to forgive somewhere down the road. He says you need to forgive right now, right? You see, so we know that's not future tense. It's right now. And I also know that before I can move forward, when he said forgive those who've done something against me as I forgive, that's not future tense. That means now. When people do things to us, we got to let it go, because there's a greater thing at stake. There's a greater plan than just holding and harboring what people do to us. Listen, if you, long as you live on this earth, something's going to happen to you. For those of you who haven't learned that, learn it. Okay? Wake up. Stuff is going to happen. Listen, I don't care. If you are a walker, forgive me, y'all. Hey, let me apologize right quickly because I'm a bit country. Okay, I'm from Oklahoma, and we tend to do country stuff and talk country, so just go with me. I tried to get it out. I went to school, got a degree, and when I got through with the degree, I was still country, and so I went and got another degree, and I was still country. So I went and got another degree, and I found out I was still country, and then I thought about where there's one more degree to get, and I thought, if I've been country over these last three, I might as well just go ahead and accept that I'm country. So that's what I am. So forgive me in some of the things in the way that I say them, because it is what I am. I love being urban. But listen, if you go through life and you don't think you're going to ever step in something, you're mistaken.
Sooner or later, you're going to find that pile, okay? So as a result of it, He knows that we're going to have things going to come to us. The idea is to do this. Wipe your foot off and keep going. Okay? And keep moving, okay? People are going to say stuff to you. Just forgive them and go on. There's so much there. The plan is so much bigger than getting stuck with the pile. Okay? Okay. So listen. He says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Think about it. Think about this for me. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so he tells us that heaven is coming. There is one prevailing thought that we all know about heaven. There is one thing that stands out above everything. All the people in heaven has learned to walk in His presence. God is everywhere. If you're in heaven right now, there is no place you can go where you get away from God. And in fact, they take it for granted Him being there. So God is present everywhere. God's presence just covers everything. And where God is covered, if you were to step into heaven right now, there'd be no darkness. None. No shadow. It doesn't exist. God is the light. There is no place for darkness. And He is the light. He is our life. He is our power. He is the glory. He is our love. So everywhere in heaven, there is this presence of God. And they learn it is. You never have to go to heaven and have somebody say, well, you know where God's at? You don't. Because He's everywhere. He covers everything. He is everything. And in fact, in His presence, heaven is being with God. Or being in His presence. So Jesus' instructions to the disciples were simple. He says, preach this to them. The kingdom of heaven has come near.
The kingdom of heaven is here. Points of application for us, dear listener. Live in His power and know today you'll be equipped to do kingdom work. That was a message preached a week ago Sunday at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, as Irvin Williams, the Executive Director of Restoration Urban Ministries, was the special guest. It was a 42-minute message, and you'll hear it in its entirety, as we'll pick up right where we left off today on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.